Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Fall for Me by Crystal Harper. Narrated by Sophia Willingham and Alex Kidd. Chapter 1. Alexis. As the sun lowered past the city skyline, Alexis Shaw began to question why she'd agreed to attend this event. They weren't on the VIP list. The owner of the club had a disputed history, and her feet were already hurting in her new designer pumps. She decided to blame Poppy Rinaldo, her occasional vlog co-host, for everything, although the shoes were really her own poor choice of footwear. Alexis placed her camera onto the tripod in front of her and stepped away. She figured the backdrop of the Boston skyscrapers would give her audience the kind of dreamy, after-dark party vibes she'd been trying to convey in all her videos over the last 6 months.
"We need to film this now," Poppy Rinaldo said.
"I'm working on capturing the romance of the city," Alexis replied.
"Well, if you don't do this soon, they won't let us film. The party starts in 5 minutes, and the anti-camera people have VIP status, so they've banned any recordings."
Poppy's big brown eyes were welling up, and Alexis knew when to pick her battles.
"Fine. I wouldn't want to get us in trouble with Mr. Creepy Eyes. How do I look?"
Alexis smoothed her little black dress and straightened her trademark dainty gold necklaces. Mr. Creepy Eyes was their nickname for the owner of the club. He'd introduced himself as Ed, but he'd earned his title by thinking it was acceptable to leer at any given moment.
"Lovely, and I expect you'd say the same for me?"
Poppy asked. Alexis nodded to her, and they assumed their usual position in front of the camera. They'd filmed over 50 vlogs together in the last 2 years, and it was a fun way to connect with their audience while dabbling in conversation they'd normally engage in anyway. When filming a solo video, Alexis usually pretended the camera was her best friend, describing her adventures in detail.
"I'm excited to start working again. This last week has been just what I needed, but honestly, it's been kind of boring. When this is over, I promise to respond to at least 50 of my viewers."
Alexis beamed.
"We can discuss that later. Remember, a social media detox gave you the rest you needed. You look like you've actually slept."
Poppy seemed anxious, but Alexis took it as excitement for the event. Alexis ran over to the camera and pressed play before returning to her mark alongside Poppy as she spoke.
"Hey guys, I'm at the Gentry Club in downtown Boston. I have Alexis with me this time, and we're so stoked that we get to preview the new men's underwear line, Elastic."
Poppy greeted the camera with her trademark pouty red lips, her long black hair styled in a fishtail braid.
"I'm super excited to be here too, and I wanted to give a quick shout out to the ladies from Lyra Designs who sent us these fabulous hoops."
Alexis pointed to the gold earrings she sported.
"I'll try to zoom in later and give you a better look. If you want to purchase anything we have on tonight, just click the link in our bio and instantly get 10% off."
In Alexis's opinion, the best parts of vlogging were during editing, where she loved to add music, words, and special effects. The worst parts were having to partner with brands you didn't necessarily align with. She'd tried her very best to find reputable products, but the bills from everyday life occasionally called for an underwear party. In this case, the Elastic event. The company claimed to donate 5% of sales to homeless shelters, so Alexis felt comfortable showcasing their products.
"First on the list, we need to give you a proper tour of the rooftop."
Alexis snatched the camera from the tripod and walked over to the balcony. The lights of the downtown core had turned on as the sun set, and the radiance of their surroundings truly was breathtaking. There was a straight view down to the harbor, and wooden beams were fastened above them, covered in twinkle lights that sparkled ever so slightly. Jazz music hummed softly in the background. Alexis noticed the lack of guests at this event, even though she was told they only had 5 minutes until the opening. She could only see a handful of male models, a bartender, and a few gentlemen in suits fixated on their phones from the counter of the bar.
Poppy, can you walk us over to the bar area? Alexis asked. Here you can see we have our favorite drinks already poured, Poppy said, giving the bartender a flirty smile and picking up two semi-full champagne flutes. Thanks for supporting us, Sparkling Vineyards. Alexis enjoyed switching the camera to her own face to show her expression whenever she filmed someone else. Her fans liked the way Alexis pretended she and the camera were simultaneously experiencing the same thing, like old pals. Excuse me, do you have a moment to speak with us? Poppy had set down the glasses and stalked over to an underwear model, peering towards the harbor. The rest of the models hadn't shown up yet, and it was becoming quite clear to Alexis that their invitation had been out of pity more than anything.
Sure. What can I do for you?
The muscular man in the tiny blue undies smiled, his gaze lingering on Alexis. Tell me how you feel in these. Do they measure up to your standards? Poppy smirked as she said this.
No complaints.
He inched closer to Alexis and smiled wider. Do you live in Boston? Alexis asked.
Yes, I'm often in New York for shoots, but when I was asked to model for the show, I thought it would be fun to come home for a while.
He rested his hands on his hips like a superhero.
Do you ladies live around here? We could find a nice quiet place to talk. After all, I showed you mine, so you should show me yours.
He looked to his predominantly naked body and smirked. We'll have to take a rain check, Alexis said, stifling her amusement. She was used to the typical arrogant model routine, but this guy had some guts. Poppy elbowed her, seeming to remind her they were in the midst of an interview. Are you excited for the party tonight? Poppy asked.
What party? He seemed confused. This is a rehearsal for tomorrow's party.
Alexis nearly dropped the camera as the news finally hit her. They weren't important enough to be invited to the real party. This was a test run. Poppy's face dropped a few shades lighter, and the ladies excused themselves from the interview. The man didn't seem to notice their departure and returned to his ponderings of the distant sky. What's going on, Poppy? I thought things were getting better for me. Alexis paced around the women's washroom of the club, eager to slip by the owner without him noticing. It was too embarrassing to face him. Poppy would probably cause a scene, which would only make things worse. Remember when I turned off the comments from the last video we did? Poppy asked. Yes, I thought that was so we could try some new ideas without the distraction of endless notifications. Alexis felt her chest tighten, and she leaned against the counter. I did it because people were a tad harsh about the infamous shopping hall video on your channel. I was hoping we'd be able to win them back with a few fun and fresh videos with you featured on Charm and Bubbly. They said you aren't authentic anymore, and that you've sold out. I probably should have told you, but I thought a social media detox was good for you anyway. Poppy looked over at her with those big brown eyes and bit her lip. Alexis was growing mad now. I don't understand. You said we were both doing a phone detox for a week to find our zen. Did you not follow the rules? Not exactly. I was hustling to get you into a few bookings, and I honestly thought this was legit. My cousin knows the Elastic founder. It turns out we weren't given an invitation to the actual launch party. Poppy frowned. Alexis sighed as deeply as she could and pulled her phone out of her purse. She tapped on her settings and turned on all notifications. Instantly, 100 alerts popped up on her screen, none of which seemed positive. In a matter of a week, she'd lost 10,000 subscribers. Don't worry, girlie. Things can only look up from here. We can manage things tomorrow, but for now, let's figure out a way to leave without alerting anyone. Poppy grabbed on to Alexis's arm and pleaded. I can't believe you hid this from me, Alexis said. You know I only tried to help you reset without the burdens of social media. We'll get you back on top. I promise. Poppy pulled Alexis out of the washroom, and they crept to the far exit, which was now unoccupied. They made it out without anyone's knowledge, but there wasn't anyone who cared about their absence in the first place. As they said their goodbyes at the corner of the building to adjourn to their respective apartments, Poppy hugged Alexis, making her promise not to do anything until they met up tomorrow morning.
"I hope you're right, Poppy."
"Trust me," Poppy replied, her expression soft but serious. As Alexis made her way home, she slid in earbuds and cranked her favorite playlist, distracting herself from the pressures of the world, if only for a moment in time.
Finn.
"Welcome home, son."
Diane Cooper, Finn's well-intentioned mother, greeted him at the front door with a warm hug. His brother James had been nice enough to pick him up from the airport and drive him to their parents' Cape Cod home. "Thanks, Mom. Can I please step inside now?" Finn laughed. The scent of her floral perfume lingered on his t-shirt, and he hadn't realized how much he'd missed her. His mother released her embrace, a wave of sadness lingering on her face. Finn knew it was tough for her three sons to be out of the house, and he gave her credit for not crying this time.
"Of course. Come in, boys. I have a roast in the oven, and my famous 5-layer chocolate cake for dessert," she said.
"I'm famished after picking up my little brother from the depths of airport hell." James rolled his eyes and stepped past Finn and his mother, making a beeline for the kitchen. His brother was the middle child, and a chef at that. His favorite gesture was to be cooked for, as he spent every waking moment at his contemporary seafood restaurant, The Claw. "Dude, I said thanks. I'll help at the restaurant tomorrow to pay you back. I don't have any plans anyway." Finn put his bags at the staircase and walked with his mother into the kitchen. A trio of platters were on the center island, and he picked away at a few chips.
"I have plans for you tonight. A nice home-cooked meal with your whole family to celebrate your return after graduating from Harvard. I can't believe I have a son who went to Harvard. The gals are so jealous,"
Diane said, her hazel eyes lighting up.
"My only regret is that you haven't been able to come home until now. You've been off school for 2 months.
"Mom, you know I had to finish up my internship at Link Hotels. They asked me to stay a bit longer, and now I've learned valuable tips about the hospitality industry," Finn said.
"We've missed you so much. It's not the same without you," Diane pouted.
"Did you forget you have two other sons who are an accomplished chef and dentist?" James scoffed.
"No, I just missed my baby boy. James, don't be difficult, or no chocolate cake for you," she joked.
Diane looked like she'd been in the kitchen all day. Her gray hair was pulled up in a ponytail, and she wore an apron with roughly 20 unrecognizable stains splattered onto it. Finn's mother had gone gray in her late 40s and had decided to embrace the look ever since. "I'm glad to be back on the Cape," Finn said. "When's Mickey getting home? I wanted to talk to him about the cottage. He was supposed to call me last week when I was packing, but he never did."
"Oh dear, I suppose he's getting a tad forgetful these days. You have to remember he's 10 years older than me, and he never carries his phone around."
Diane averted her eyes from Finn, and he assumed there must be something transpiring without his knowledge. He decided to let it slide, for now. "Mickey's not usually one to forget a call. I hope he's as enthusiastic as I am to dive into this. My last finance project for school was a 5-year plan on growth and restructuring the cottage. I sent him an email on it," Finn said.
"Don't worry, sweetie. He'll be home soon, and we can talk all about the newest updates in everyone's lives," Diane smiled.
"What does that mean?" James asked.
"Nothing, dear," she sighed. "I need to check on the roast."
Mickey was, on all accounts, a wonderful man. He'd married their mother when the boys were teenagers, a few years after their dad had died of a heart attack. Diane had moved to the small town of Cherry Hill, hoping to find employment and a fresh start. When Mickey came along, he changed the course of their lives. He was the owner of Cooper's Cottages, a well-established vacation property with 4 cabins on the waterfront. He treated the boys as his own and had given them every chance in life to be successful. Finn hoped his return home would revamp the success of Cooper's Cottages and make Mickey proud. "Mind if I jump in the shower? I need to get out of these clothes," Finn said.
"Sure, honey. Your room's ready for you upstairs. I even laid out some fresh towels,"
Diane replied, busying herself at the oven. "You're the best," Finn said, receiving a scowl from James, who'd stuffed his face with crab cakes as he observed them with interest. James was a good brother, but tended to be dramatic when it came to how their mom favored Finn. Finn jogged up the stairs to his room, hearing the familiar creak of the floorboards beneath his feet. He'd missed this house. It was large enough to fit a family of five comfortably, while giving them each enough space independent from one another. The floral wallpaper and stained hardwood floors still seemed brand new, and the amount of pride Diane had in their home was ever present. After he stepped out of the shower and put on jeans and a navy blue dress shirt, he scrunched some gel into his sandy brown hair. The echo of voices from downstairs alerted him that his other brother, Sherman, had arrived with his wife Candace and their three kids. Finn took a deep breath and headed downstairs to greet the Rugrats. "Mason, Dex, Tilly, how are you doing, kiddos?" Finn asked as they swarmed his legs with hugs. They were aged 7, 5, and 3, respectively, the perfect spacing of time between them.
"I missed you so much, Uncle Finn,"
Tilly said. Her chestnut eyes peered into his, and his heart melted a bit. "Did you bring us anything?" Mason, the bravest of them, asked.
"I may have, but I don't think your mom's going to be pleased about it," Finn laughed.
He could practically feel the daggers from Candace's stare as the kids released his legs and he gave his brother Sherman a high five. Candace shook her head and hugged him.
"James, would you mind showing the kids what we brought them?" Finn asked loudly, in the direction of the kitchen.
There was silence for a moment, and then James emerged into the living room with two stuffed grocery bags. They held an enormous number of toys, and as soon as the kids registered what it was, they screamed and ran over to their uncle. Finn smiled, and Sherman and his wife looked down in defeat. James and the kids shuffled into the kitchen. An echo of delight lingered after them. Finn patted Sherman on the back.
"You have to accept that kids are meant to be spoiled by their uncles."
"Nice to have you home, bro,"
Sherman said as he straightened his glasses and glanced toward the kitchen and then his wife.
"Candace, do you need help carrying those?" he asked.
"Nonsense. I'm perfectly capable of carrying these without your meaty paws on them."
Candace had juggled a few grocery bags of her own, along with a bouquet of flowers and a sizable vase to put them in.
"Don't say I didn't ask,"
Sherman said, stuffing his hands in his pockets like a child.
"Okay, I won't,"
Candace retorted, storming into the kitchen.
"What's the deal? I haven't seen you two bicker this way since...
since...
oh, man," Finn said. "She's pregnant again, isn't she?"
"Aren't you the mind reader? Did Harvard teach you how to master those perceptive deductions?"
Sherman joked, and they both laughed.
"Before we step into the kitchen and lose a noise contest to three excited mini-humans, I wanted to check in on you."
"What do you mean?" Finn asked, though he knew exactly what Sherman meant.
"You know what I mean. Have you talked to her at all?"
Sherman asked, his brows furrowing under his glasses.
"No way. We're ancient history. In fact, I don't want to look at a woman right now. They're all the same,"
Finn snorted. One of the reasons he'd stayed away from home for a couple months after graduation was the fact that he was dealing with his breakup with Kelsey. He'd been in the midst of finals and working every other minute at the hotel chain, so he hadn't stopped to think about his relationship with her and whether it was working or not. He could admit they were having problems, but that didn't excuse the fact that he had to walk in on her under the sheets with his roommate, Chet. Chet was an idiot, with a profoundly rude sense of humor and a closet full of gaudy bow ties. The fact that Kelsey had resorted to him had hurt the most.
Finn, had taken the last couple months since then to try and move on, and he was happy to be home with his family. Finn had made all his plans with Kelsey as his partner, both in life and in business. When they parted ways after he found her cheating, he'd had to regroup before coming home. He didn't know how he'd continue with his plan on the cottages without her, but he'd damn well try. She was supposed to do the marketing while he did the dirty work and cleaned everything up. Now, somehow, he'd have to do both. "Okay, buddy. If you ever need anything, we're here for you." Sherman patted Finn on the shoulder, and they made their way into the kitchen. The kids had gathered around the island to snack on the assortment of tapas Diane had prepared. They'd all been matched in leopard print outfits. Candace loved fashion and always wanted people to know they were a family. If the long dark eyelashes and chestnut hair didn't give it away, a perfectly styled uniform would. The brothers, along with Candace and Diane, gathered at the dining room table with assorted beverages of water, wine, and craft beer. Candace promptly declined anything except seltzer, and everyone gave each other knowing glances. Candace was likely to officially announce her pregnancy in a flamboyant gesture, and they were used to pretending they were surprised when it happened. The front door opened and shut with a clang, and Mickey walked into the kitchen. He slid off his jacket and greeted everyone with his deep voice.
"How lucky am I? It looks like the whole gang's here."
Finn jumped off his chair and rushed toward him. "Mickey, you made it home." They hugged for a solid minute before releasing their grasp so Mickey could hug everyone else. It had been 6 months since Finn had seen his stepfather, so his enthusiasm mirrored his response.
"I'm so glad everyone is here. Sorry I'm late. I had a water main break at one of the cottages. It's been one thing after the other lately. At least we can move on soon."
Mickey caught himself before he spoke further. He ran his hands through his thick silver hair and sat at the head of the table. "What do you mean, move on soon?" Finn whispered.
"I suppose it's as good of a time as any to break the news," Mickey said.
"Are you sure, Mickey? I was hoping the chocolate cake would be out when we did this," Diane said. "Cake! Cake! Cake!" the children chanted.
Finn's heart raced in his chest. He was getting the impression that something big was about to be spilled, and it wouldn't be the news he wanted to hear. His palms began to sweat, and he reached for his ice water, the chilled glass instantly cooling him.
"I think you should tell us now, Mickey," he pleaded.
"Listen, Finn, I know we had all these glorious plans to refurbish the cottages and make them into something new, but I've been meeting with a developer, and he presented an offer last week."
He turned to Finn and placed a hand firmly on the table.
"You mean you'd sell it? There's no way they can understand its value. The beach needs our protection," Finn said. His throat was so dry, he gulped down more water. This was his dream. This was what he'd gone to school for. There was no way his parents could sell the place.
"Dear, they've offered us a large sum of money, enough to give you boys all a share."
Diane sat beside Finn and placed a hand on his. Finn pulled away and stared at the rest of the family, hoping they were just as upset as he was. James seemed indifferent and continued to eat a carrot stick dipped in tzatziki. Sherman and Candace kept their gazes everywhere but toward Finn, which led him to believe everyone else was already privy to the news. The kids' chanting lowered to a whisper, as even they sensed the tension in the room.
"So, I'm the only one that put my heart and soul into this project. Have you signed anything? Please tell me you haven't signed anything."
Finn paced around the room.
"No, son, we haven't, but we can't see any other option. The cottages have had their day in the sun. It's time to move on."
Mickey sighed, averting his gaze.
"I can't let this happen. This is my dream. I've been planning this since I left for college. Every minute detail, up to how I'll pay you back, was in my proposition. You have to give me a chance," Finn told his stepfather.
He realized he must have appeared a bit delirious, but his passion wouldn't let him stop. He was determined to change their minds.
"Honey, maybe Finn is right. Why don't we discuss it after dinner?"
Diane asked Mickey. Mickey shifted in his seat, everyone hanging on his word as he seemed to consider the issue. Okay, Finn, let's hash this out over dessert. I think I want the cake first anyway. What do you say, kids? Mickey asked the little trio.
Yay! You're the best, Gramps!
The kids screamed and ran over to their tiny table and chairs, perfect manners on display. Let them eat cake, Mickey announced in his deep voice. That was the beginning of a 3-hour debate, and not one crumb of cake would remain by the end of it.
Chapter 2. Alexis. The faint sound of tapping at her apartment door abruptly woke Alexis in the middle of the night. She'd realized who it was by the time she checked her phone at her bedside table. The man hadn't called her in weeks, and now he wanted to visit her. She only had on a nightgown, but he'd seen it all before. Her cat Lucky grumbled at her to end the nuisance, and she sighed as she made her way to the sound.
Come on, Lexi, open up,
the familiar voice called out. I told you it was over, Bradley, Alexis said. She stood at the other side of her door and shifted her feet, realizing how cold her tile entrance felt.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Don't you have any heart?
Bradley whined. Alexis sighed, opening the door a crack, but keeping the chain hooked so he couldn't get inside.
I could say the same thing to you. Ghosting me after my mini-crisis was a low thing to do, even for you.
But, baby, I was under a lot of stress at work. Just let me in and we can talk, he said.
His suit was all wrinkled, and she could smell the liquor from 2 feet away. His dark eyes were bloodshot, as he'd likely stumbled over from a nearby bar. This wasn't anything more than a booty call.
I needed you, and you weren't there for me. Have a nice life, Alexis said.
She shut the door and locked it, while Bradley pounded his fist on it a few times. Eventually, he shuffled away, likely to find another beige apartment door to disturb. Alexis felt proud of herself. She was starting to believe she didn't need a man in her life to fill in the voids. She was already whole, and her career was top priority. As she snuggled into bed, she let the gentle purring of her tiny companion lull her to sleep. Tomorrow was a new day. Alexis stretched out in her bed as beams of sunlight warmed her face. She'd awoken at the sound of a nearby purr, signaling that Lucky was awake and ready for breakfast. She emerged from bed and slid on a silk robe, pulling her wavy hair into a top knot. She scooped canned food onto a dish as her orange tabby danced between her legs. The moment she placed the dish on the floor, the cat forgot Alexis even existed. She couldn't blame him, after all. He was as independent as she was when it came to most things. Alexis walked over to the kitchen table in her studio apartment and unplugged her phone. There were numerous notifications, mostly from Poppy, who begged her forgiveness at the recent deceit. Alexis wasn't as upset as she'd predicted, and she had to think hard as to why that was. When she really considered it, Alexis knew, deep down, that her image had changed in the last few months, and truthfully, she didn't like herself lately. It was no wonder her subscribers had rebelled. They could always see through her, and she owed it to them to figure out who she was now. She poured a cup of coffee and decided to soften it with some cream, only to find the fridge was running low on pretty much everything. She was happy she'd taken a week off to unplug, but her savings were dwindling, and she needed to find some real work. She stepped onto her tiny balcony, comprised of a single lawn chair and a half-dead tomato plant. The view, however, was fantastic. It was a sought-after rental, simply because she had a water view, facing south and providing a picturesque display of the wharf. She'd been fortunate enough to find a kind single woman who'd moved across the country but had kept the place as an investment. In fact, one of her subscribers had contacted her about it, resulting in Alexis meeting the woman in the first place. This was why she had to smarten up, get back to the basics, and reinvent herself. She put Poppy on video chat
as she observed a trio of seagulls fighting over a dead fish. It was like watching a Black Friday sale.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?